There. She does so much for us around here. John chapter 14, if you would. That's where we'll be this morning. We were getting ready for our crosswalk. It was the Saturday before Easter, and we got our gang together, and Stan handed me a sign and said, "Why don't you lead the procession?" We had Bridget was Mary, and Stan was Simon of Cyrene, and for this particular one, Shane was walking beside me, and Brad was the Jesus, and we had Brad and Greg Guyman were our Roman soldiers, and Dana was bringing up the rear with a sign, as well as several others that were with were walking along, and Stan said to me, "Go up to Hobby Lobby, take a left, go up the left side to the highway, and then come back along the right side, hang a left headed right for Sam's Club sign. Go all the way to the building, make a left along the front of the store, make a left and continue on to where the cross set." Got it? I said, "Yeah, go to Hobby Lobby and make a left." I wasn't worried because Stan was going along with us. I figured I'm not going to stand here until I memorize I get the big picture all and everybody would just go. And if I make a mistake, he'll let me know. Or if I have a question, I can ask Stan, because Stan's right there along with us. This is, in a nutshell, why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. Jesus left a lot of instructions, many of which we can't remember, and none of which we can accomplish on our own. And so he said, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you a GPS. I'll give you a God positioning system. And if you get lost, you have any questions along the way, he is going to be with you." Hallelujah. Thank God for partners. I lost my keys this week. And thank the Lord they came home. But we have a drawer. You know, one of those drawers where we keep the extra keys in. I could find the Mustang's keys. I couldn't find the Lexus key. It's in the drawer. "Hey, Peach, what do we do with the key?" "It's in the drawer." "I thought it was too, but I've looked all through it. I've looked," and you know how you do as a husband? You look through it three times because you don't want to have to ask the wife. And she comes out and does that voodoo thing that she does, and the key appears right there in the drawer where it was the whole time. I don't quite understand all that. But it's great to have a partner who knows what's going on, a partner that's organized, a partner that knows what's up. The Holy Spirit is that partner for all of us when we walk this walk in Christ. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. It's good. He's good. Not only directing us, but helping us with our emotional health, with the strength we need inside to face the obstacles that we face to get through life itself. John chapter 14, verse 25. Jesus is talking. He said, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." What wonderful words this morning, Lord. Thank you for them. Your peace. Don't be troubled. Hallelujah. What a good word from God. We need that empowerment that comes from your Holy Spirit, that peace might abide in us. Help us to open our ears, to absorb today what you're saying. May it become a part of who we are. May it change our lives as we sit in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's an awful lot to unpack in these few verses. Jesus is contemplating, or he's completing his ministry. He has told them a lot of things that they're going to need to know. They've been with him for 3 years now. He has loaded them up with a lot of information. And it's going to be these disciples' job to disseminate what they have learned throughout the known world. They're going to carry the gospel, this truth, the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ throughout the known world. And so these men become evangelists and missionaries, going as far east as India, as far west as Spain. Fisherman and a tax collector, is that who you would have chosen? fisherman and a tax collector going to take this gospel? If they drop the ball, it's dropped. Nobody else is going to pick it up. These are the guys it's all depending on. They didn't speak Hindi or Farsi or any other number of languages of the places that they were going to go. But still, they were on their way. They didn't have enough money to fund the extensive journeys or their elaborate campaigns. Jesus said, here's how you're going to do it. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be in you, and he's going to help you to do the impossible. It must have worked, because within one generation, they evangelized the whole known world. Within 300 years, the Roman Empire became the Holy Roman Empire, where early on they crucified, they persecuted Christians, fed them to the lions, torched them in the arena. Eventually it became the Holy Roman Empire. This is how they did. They didn't even have a canonized New Testament yet. Didn't have a Bible they could carry with them. But they had a fire inside of them called the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that ever since their time, the church has been trying to do the same job, but by a different means. We will educate our missionaries and our pastors ad nausea. We'll get doctorate upon doctorate. Education's good. It can be helpful. But it's no replacement for the fire that burns inside. We send a lot of money to fund the missionaries, and money is very helpful. We fed children and gotten clean water and many good things, built hospitals and the like. But it is no substitute for the fire that burns within. We structure our churches and we teach our pastors and we have these seminaries. In fact, the sad thing about many of our seminaries today is not only do they not trim the wick and put more oil and make it a bigger flame, they extinguish the flame that's there. They will take a young man or woman who is on fire for Christ, and they'll take their faith completely apart. They'll tell them lies about the Bible not being the Word of God. And this story is as good as any Bible story, and as long as you got your morals right. And then they mess up the morals even. It becomes such a mess. And it's necessary for you and I to go back to the Word. And say, what was it we were supposed to be using here? What does the church really need? What does a missionary really need when they're going into a foreign country where they could die for this faith? What would it profit if we built a hospital in that foreign land and we never told them about Jesus? We got them a few more years on this planet, but lost their eternal soul. Got to remember the flame. If you have a fireplace, a gas fireplace or gas furnace, you know the pilot light is all important. And when you need it, you can turn it up a little higher. The flame comes. But so many people, they've put it out. They've decided to go with education or go with money. But no amount of education or money can do what the Holy Spirit can accomplish. Have you found that true in your own life? Oh, what God can speak into a person's heart. You might want to ask yourself, what are you relying on to power your life? What is most important to you right now? What has been generating the energy to get up and to go? What is your purpose? Why are you here? How do you run your life? Are you simply asking God, please go with me today. Please protect me from harm. Please catch me if I fall. Help me to get done what I want to get done. Well, who's in charge of that list? See, there's a difference between that and here I am, Lord. I'm yours. Give and take away as you will. Direct me today. Let me know that I'm following your voice in this. Isn't following God a hoot? I mean, you just have no idea what might be next. You pray for one thing and you get another. You were hoping it would go right and it goes left. But when you're following the Lord, you find out He's getting you where you need to be, not necessarily where you want to be all the time. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Counselor. You need a counselor. Popular today is what we call life coaches. A coach is a little bit different from a counselor, but they're very similar. A life coach helps get you to where you want to go. So coach as in a stagecoach, think stagecoach, takes you where you are, from where you are to where you want to be. How do I get there? How do I get better? The Holy Spirit is the consummate life coach. He speaks into it. Now, I've had a little coaching training myself, and they tell you, you're not to give answers. You're to draw the answers out of the person, because God has already put everything they need inside of them. They already know. Ask key questions and get them talking. Get them thinking about all that. And they'll put the pieces together for themselves. And when that happens, a life gets changed, and dynamic things are the result. And the Holy Spirit is the great counselor. He's a great coach. He'll get you where you need to be. He'll get you where you want to be, even though you don't realize that's where you wanted to be. He will help you in your life. As a creation of God, you are wonderfully gifted to accomplish particular tasks the Lord has already prepared for you to do. You may have discovered some of those talents and abilities, or maybe you're using them wonderfully. But God has prepackaged you. He said He has prepared in advance things for you to accomplish. And then He made sure that you had everything that you needed for that journey. I saw a news clip this week, Amazon. How Amazon, they've got thousands of robots now. And they've got these little pallets on wheels going everywhere. And it looks like, you know, Keystone Cops, for those old enough to remember Keystone Cops. And a fellow will be standing there loading a truck or something, and a pallet will just show up with exactly what he needs, exactly when he needs it, and in the right sequence that they can load that truck back to front. The front being the first ones they're going to unload and all that going. It's just a magnificent mind, magnificent computer that they said they're already packaging what you're going to order next, and you haven't even ordered it yet. They've got it all figured out, what you've ordered in the past, and they've got you all figured out. And maybe you haven't even ordered anything yet. They know what you're going to be bringing about. There's a greater mind than that in charge of your life. And you have no idea, why am I going through this, God? Maybe you don't even want to know why you're going through it right now. That might be a little bit scary. But there'll come a moment in your life you'll think, that's right. Oh yeah, you know what, I've been through something similar, and here's how it worked out and what God did with that, with me. You're not an orphan. You're not a leaf blown by the wind. Unless that wind is the Holy Spirit and He's carrying you exactly where you need to be, right on time, step by step, moment by moment. Have you ever thought to yourself, who could do this? Who could be married to a person like this? Who could raise a child like that? Who could put up with a career or a job like the one you have? How often have you said, it's driving me nuts? Yeah, crazy. You know, I heard an interesting fact this week. You know, PTSD is a real problem for people who come back from war. They've done a study. 1 in 5 people having the same experience comes back with PTSD. Do you know what the other 4 come back with? PTG. Post-traumatic growth. They have experienced the same things that break some, but made the others better. It was hard, it was terrible, it was miserable, but they learned and they grew through it. Now, there are times I think all of us experience a little PTSD, but the purpose to it all is PTG, post-traumatic growth. And once we get past the post-traumatic stress, we find growth. And you'll find that a lot of those, that 20%, that 1 in 5 that came back with the post-traumatic stress syndrome, when they get help, when they're able to unpack it, the growth comes. And they get better through the help that they receive in getting it unpacked. Life is traumatic. It is difficult. I often say life's a hoot. You have no idea what's coming next. And you're really good at whatever else you already experienced. And you're ready for that now. It ain't happening anymore. You're getting a new trial this week. It's going to be a new twist on it all. And no one on their own is able to do this. Unless, of course, you have 24/7 access to heaven's IT desk. The Holy Spirit is God's IT dude. Hey, you know what? I did what I was supposed to do. I followed the word. I did everything the instructions told me to do. But here's where I'm at right now. My son isn't responding the way he's supposed to. I followed it. Wow, he's out there. What do I do, Holy Spirit, with this? What do I do with that? And he'll talk you through. Sometimes just be patient. Hold on. You did what you're supposed to do. Good. Now you're just going to reboot. Wait a little while longer. Just do more of the same. Stay patient. Put your trust in God. If you ever go to a counselor, usually one session isn't enough. One session might talk you back from the ledge. It may help you to calm down. It may help you to get some structure to it all. But it's going to take a continual meeting and growth from that point on. And life is that way. A little bit is never enough. His mercies are new. How often? Every single morning. You need mercies every single day. You need new mercies every single day. Because the stuff you're handling is new. And hallelujah, he's always on time. He's got those robots all lined up. You turn around, there it is, exactly what you needed at the moment. You're sure this wasn't going to work. But he's got it all there. Strength to endure and wisdom to overcome. I love this progression. There are moments in my life where I am literally saying to God, I do not want to be here right now. Please make this stop. Please make this go away. May this time pass quickly. May we get through. Please, Lord, I don't want to be here right now. Strength to endure. That's when I say, well, Lord, if you're not going to make it end, give me the strength and the patience I need to endure this. And then after the event is over, Lord, teach me, show me, give me wisdom. So that next time I face this, it's not the same spoiled little brat screaming, I don't want to be here, I don't want to do this, and make it stop. Show me what you're doing in the middle of all this so that I can improve and get better with it all. Life isn't easy. In fact, following the Holy Spirit can actually complicate your life at times. But Lord, I did what you told me to do, and look at it now. He would say, exactly. You're right on schedule. You're struggling with your job. Lord, he calls you to be a missionary. Ah! Lord, what is this all about? You prayed for a mate for your child. Oh, Lord, not this one. No, that's not what I meant. Please, you know, this can't be what you had in mind. And, you know, I found the Lord has a fantastic sense of humor. Maybe it'd have you start a church or start a feeding program of some kind. Craig was talking in the prayer room before Tuesday night. They're going to go feed a bunch of homeless people in York, and they're connecting with these folk, and they're getting entering into relationships and helping to mature them in Christ and so on. Life takes on more meaning than survival followed by prosperity, followed by retirement. Oh, we had this small little apartment, and we were starving, but God blessed us. Now we have a house, and one of these days we're going to retire. Oh, the dominoes fell, pom, pom, pom. So what? It's about finding your purpose. Why am I here, Lord? Where do I fit into your plan for the world? The disciples easily could have gone back to fishing and tax collecting. Well, Jesus, if you're not going with us, you know, that sounds so hard. Go to India. I don't like, what was that spice they put on everything? Curry? Curry. I don't like curry, Lord. I don't think I want to do that. Let me stay in Jerusalem where we eat, you know, herring and, you know, like lox and bagels and stuff like that. No. But imagine if they had just a couple guys, we're talking 12 people. What if they said, no, thank you. We're just going to go back to what we know, we're familiar with, what we like to do. Oh, wow. Whole world would be lost. You have no idea what is lost when you don't answer the call. And if you have answered the call, you have no idea the magnitude of the impact you're having in the world. You didn't want to be a Sunday school teacher. It was inconvenient. It cramped your vacation and everything else. But just on one Sunday morning, you happened to say something just on the side, and it changed a little kid's heart, that changed his life, that changed his family, that changed the world. And when you get to the other side, you're going to see what all this world was worth, your 401k and whatever else. And then you're going to see what having invested your life in the kingdom of God was worth. You're going to say, whoa. Boy, if I could do it again, oh, I'd do everything different. I would major in those things that are important, that are eternal. I let go of so much of that stuff I worried about every night. Jesus said there's two major functions of the Holy Spirit, to teach and to remind. He teaches us because we need taught. We think we know everything. We think we know how to do it. We do not. We need taught. We need trained. And then he reminds us because our brains leak. Oh, that's right. Oh, thank you, Lord. I need that very much. And he teaches us in two primary ways. The first is through life experience. I'll call them teachable moments. Oh, dude, I blew it. Okay, let's talk about it. What could you have done differently? What would you like to do different the next time? And second, sometimes he just drops a truth in your mind. I call them aha moments. Suddenly I know what to do. I was all beside myself. I was all tied up in knots. I was worrying. I was stressed. I was frustrated. Oh, Lord, please help me. I don't know what to do. Bing. Oh, thank you, God. I know what to do. Standing there in a conversation. Lord, I have nothing to say to this person. They're way beyond my pay grade here. I don't know what to tell them, how to help them. Bing. Phew. Wow, that was good. God, thank you. I won't go there. I don't have time to keep illustrating. But have you ever hung up the phone and you thought, oh, I wish I hadn't said that? Or, I should have prayed with them. What was I thinking? I always pray. I didn't pray with them this time. Teachable moment. Okay, and I found that the teachable moments from God are both intellectual and emotional. First of all, I learn. Okay, I don't want to do that. I won't say that again. I'm going to be sure to do this. It's instructional, but it's also emotional. I don't want to feel like this again, God. I feel terrible. I should have prayed with him. I should have said this. But the next time, I'm going to be a little more bold. I'm going to be a little more aggressive. But I don't want to feel like this anymore. And that's a beautiful thing. And God doesn't give you those emotions to punish you. Oh, I really feel like a jerk. I'm useless. He would come alongside you just like he came alongside Peter. And he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Get back at it. Let's go do it again. I don't want to do it again. I don't want to blow it again. Just don't, please don't give somebody else the chances. I don't want to. No. Calm down now. Take a deep breath. It's going to be all right. You're called. You've been programmed with everything you need. And the Holy Spirit is helping you. Sometimes the help is correction, and that's good. But also there'll be encouragement. And when you do it right, you're going to be kicking up your heels and you're going to be shouting the Lord's praise. It's going to be all the more beautiful because you did blow it before. And now it's making some sense. I've shared this illustration before, but I remember COVID hit. Kids weren't coming over. Didn't see the grandkids for a month or so. Didn't look like we were going to see them for a while. I said, Lord, I just want them to let them know I love them. How can we do that? Walking through Walmart, I'm thinking, what a new toy, a puzzle. They got so many toys. And if a game, they'll play it for 5 minutes and then it'll be done. What can I do? And the Lord said, Hershey Kisses. Buy some Hershey Kisses and leave them on the front porch for when they go to school, they'll get them. And so I started doing that a couple of times a week. Just a kiss from Grandma and Grandpa, just to let you know you're on our hearts and on our minds. That's from the Holy Spirit. Joel's not smart enough to think about that. You know, we pulled into town 36 years ago. The committee had asked Barb and Joel to take a look at the work in East Berlin. It was a home missions work. And we drove past what is now the library today, but it was just an old German Baptist church that the assemblies had bought. And there was a little core group. Joe Altman was there and Dale Kennedy and a couple of our folk. And we drove through town and the Lord spoke to my heart like never before. He said, I'm going to cause this group to move out from here and build. And I'm going to cause them to grow one step at a time. Tell them this is temporary ground. They're not to add on. They're not to, but just trust me in this. We're going to grow from here. So Barb and I walk in a few weeks later to candidate at this church. And they've got a chart on the back wall how they're going to break out the back wall and add on to this building. I thought, oh, Lord, you don't want to. And so I didn't tell them what the Lord told me. I preached a couple of sermons Sunday morning, Sunday night. And then some troublemaker raised their hand and said, I got a question. What's your vision for this church? And I said, you probably don't want to hear this because you got plans on the back wall. But God wants you to consider this temporary ground. Don't add on. Don't improve. Just, you know, God's going to cause you to move out from here and build. He's going to cause you to grow. He's going to do it one step at a time. I went in the back room and I thought, well, Lord, where am I going to candidate next? I told him what you wanted me to tell him. And we got a unanimous vote. All 11 people voted us into Pastor New Life Assembly of God. But there were some discouraging times because we were 5 years in that building. And I kept waiting for this miracle to happen. And I called Pastor Leek up one day. And I said, hey, Pastor, God gave me this word, but it's not happening. And it's been years now. And he said to me, he said, Joel, God will move agonizingly slow at times, but enjoy the slow time, because once God takes off, you won't be able to catch up. I found those words to be true. There was another night, it was a Wednesday night service, and after service I walked outside and I was just discouraged. I thought, Lord, it's just not happening. And he said, look up at the sky. And it was, more stars were out that night than any other night of my life. It was like when you're on a camping trip out in the dark and you can really see the sky. This is in the middle of town, but I could see all those stars. And God said to me, Joel, I did this. Do you think I could build a church? I said, yes, Lord, I think you could build a church. And the strength came and that little flame was lit again of the Holy Spirit. And on we went. So when we do this thing called church, It's a little bit about learning something new. It's a little bit about being inspired. But it's mostly about connecting with God. If you touch Him while we're here, hallelujah. You know, and we worship, not, as I said earlier, with communion, as a duty that we do, a form that we go through. You can worship on the outside and be thinking about your groceries and everything else, but that's wasted time. If you really worship when we're worshiping, you're actually soaking in God. And that Holy Spirit is getting deep in under the layers of your being. And you will find as you pray and as you seek God, you are more patient this week than you were last week. You're missing fewer exits than you did before. You're catching on to what God is doing. You're beginning to get with the program of what God is all about. And your life is beginning to count where it didn't before. But it all begins with Him and you. And loving Him and soaking in Him and letting Him sink deep into your soul. So where are you at this morning? Are you still all caught up in your job and your 401k and your, you know, relatives and have you ordered enough food for Christmas and all this and that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things be taken care of. Would you stand with me this morning?